Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 16, stanzas 3, 4, and 8. Rebuked are the nations, and the wicked destroyed. Their memory perished, their dwelling place void. Enthroned and eternal, Jehovah shall reign, the peoples to judge and the right to maintain. 3, 4, and 8 of Psalter 16.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew and thereof chapter 21, beginning with verse 23. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took their servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, long-suffering and also merciful and good-doing God of the heavens and of the earth, and we try to draw nigh to thee when thou dost bring us once again in thy house of prayer, a privilege that not one of us deserves. Thy servant did say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And it is not one of us that is able to put our hand in our own bosom and to take it out clean. For we are corrupt from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. And then thou givest unto us so many privileges. Oh, wilt thou also wash us thoroughly from our iniquity? And wilt thou cleanse us from our sin, that we may be given to see and to feel who and what we are in thy most holy sight, to abhor ourselves before thee, and to take our rightful place, may it be at thy footstool, or that we may seek there that grace that is as wide as the ocean, that mercy that was thought by the Father, that was bought by the Son, and that is wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit of the Lord, then it must become precious and necessary unto each and every one of us. Oh, we do not see it from our side, because we do not see our guilt and our sin and the height of our wretchedness and of our misery. Everything must come from thee, a sight of ourselves, but also a sight of thee. For we cannot see thee except that thou dost reveal thyself, and thou dost speak of thyself in thy holy word, and wilt have that word freely preached in the midst of the congregations also in this day, in the time in which we are living. But may there also then be a place to receive it in the heart of each and every one of us, also of the young children, our youth. O Lord, that thou may look upon them and give them to see and to feel that spiritual death, that they may be given to cry out from under it in the days of their youth in a remembrance of their Maker, that they may have desires after the true and the living God, that they may be given to see while they are still young, where the treasure that is to be found, that it is nowhere in this world, that all things do leave man empty and void of that substance that can only fill their heart. Oh, that there may be a seeking of thee while that thou art to be found, and while thou dost proffer peace and pardon, that thou may remember them in the days of their youth, and do bless them in the midst of the instructions that they may receive in their own homes by their father, by their mother. Oh, that thou may give wisdom unto us and faithfulness and and diligence to do the labor that thou dost lay upon us in the domestic circle, that we may truly be an example of what thou wilt show unto our children, that we may be kept ourselves from following all the vanity of this world, that our children may see, and that they may also become jealous of a portion which they miss. Oh, look upon our teachers and all that stand before them each and every day. And may thou help and instruct and teach them also, that thou may increase their number. Give it in the hearts of our young people, that they also may be wrought upon by thy Spirit, and that they may see and the great need and desire also to be a little instrument in thy holy fingers for the good of thy church, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and that they themselves also may be included therein. And may thou then supply for us in all of our needs, and also when it is for the preaching of thy word in the midst of the congregations and on the mission fields, that thou may raise up men also for that most important work, or that there may be a need that is bound upon our hearts together for the instruction of the coming generation, Lord, that thou may continue thy work. Wilt thou help parents? Wilt thou look upon them also in the needs and in the cares of each and every day, that they may truly be given to rest in thee for all the needs of natural life amidst all their labors, as we have heard it laid before us in this morning hour, and that that one thing needful may be bound upon their hearts. Oh, that we may be given together as a congregation and as a people to lay on our knees before thee, and that we could not let thee go except that thou would bless us, those that have become older, and thou knowest all the concerns for the needs of the mind and of the body, but the heart also that does become colder, and thou alone art able to break it also in our old age, that thou may remember them and give them a little of that hope that shall never be made ashamed. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of us together, many needs for this life, but the need of our soul that presses upon us, because time that does go on, and soon that it will become for us a great and never-ending eternity when we do pass over that Jordan. And thy servant did say that he saw that there was a way to hell even from the very gates of heaven. Oh, that we may take heed then and hasten for our life's sake, that thou may supply for us as a consistory in the labors of our hands. Also, when we will meet in the week, in this week, if all is well, wilt thou thyself be in our midst, and wilt thou give strength for all our labors, to increase our own strength to do the work of our hands amongst this our flock. And wilt thou bless all the labors for the coming of thy kingdom in our midst also. Do be with us then in this hour. Lord, wilt thou supply for us a measure of thy Holy Spirit? Then we can ask it of thee, but we do not deserve it. Thou knowest all that lives within us. Oh, as we speak and as we listen, then we are undeserving, Lord, of the least of all thy notice or attention, and only deserve that thou would say, you may go now on your own way. O Lord, we beseech thee, deal not with us as our many sins deserve, but do look upon us in and through thy dear and only begotten Son. Thou hast said in him, I am well pleased. Oh, that thou mayst show it also in this day, that thou dost have mercy for those who are miserable, and that thou wilt show grace for those who are guilty, and that thou wilt wash us, and that thou wilt cleanse us from all our iniquities, and that thou wilt arise, make us raised up to be a new man, to plant a new heart, and to give us uprightness before thee, that we may walk in all thy commandments and all thy statutes according to all thy law. Oh, that we may walk as in Enoch, that we may walk as a Job, oh, that we may walk perfectly before thee in this life, and that we may be kept on every side from all sin, and that we may be made prepared for that inheritance of the heaven and the earth, as we can read it in thy holy word, that thou wilt create a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, do it, Lord, then for thy own name's sake, and grant us an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 260, the first five stanzas. Jehovah reigns, let earth be glad, and all the isles their joy make known. With clouds and darkness he is clad. On truth and justice rests his throne. The last collection today is for our school, 260, 1 through 5. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus said to his own nation, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. And we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented.'" Purpose of the preaching of the Word of God, that is to bring forth fruit. That is, that there should be something that is taking place in the heart of those that hear. That there would be some profit. What did the Lord Jesus say unto the Jewish people? He said, "I have done my utmost. I have tried everything. And it was to no avail. We have piped unto you." That is now where the Lord begins. He begins with piping. It is in such a gentle way. He begins by setting before that multitude the joys, the glory, the blessedness of the kingdom of God. "We have piped unto you." With what purpose? Oh, that you might dance, that you might rejoice, that you might share in the glory of the kingdom of God, that you may joy with the inheritance, the true inheritance of the Lord. "We have piped unto you, but ye have not danced." There was nothing. There was no movement. There was nothing that drew. There was nothing that made jealous in their heart. So he says, "We will try it now a different way. We will try it now just the opposite way. We have mourned unto you. We have spoken to you about the judgments of the Lord. We have warned you concerning things that are to come. We have mourned unto you. And ye have not lamented." Still nothing. Still no broken heart. Still not a tear. Still not a desire. But deadness and coldness. And what does the Lord say? Wisdom is justified of her children. And thus the Lord, he condemns that people. And so we can read it also in the words of our text, Matthew 21, verse 42 to 44. Matthew 21, verses 42 to 44. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." So far the words of our text. The rejected and exalted stone. First, we want to consider the parable, and second, its application. the rejected and the exalted stone. It is, congregation, an awful, awful picture that the Lord Jesus is laying before us here. We read here about a stone. So, children, we would say, not just a little stone. We're speaking here about a very large stone. And we read about a stone, about falling on that stone, or that stone falling on us. Which one would you rather? You say, I would not rather eat either of them, because both of them are awful. And so it is, because the Lord Jesus is referring to something. He is referring to the manner of stoning among the Jewish people. Manner of stoning was this. Then first a man who was to be slain because of his transgression was brought unto a height. And he was thrown down upon a large stone. And if that man then would die after falling upon that stone, then it was sufficient. But if he would not yet die, then a large stone would be thrown upon him, that it would break his bones. You say, what an awful picture. Thus the Lord Jesus is warning us. He warns us about the punishment for sin. And here he is warning especially about a particular sin. And what is that? He tells a parable. Listen. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Thus he compares the kingdom of God unto a vineyard. Because a vineyard was that which had to be taken care of from very first to last. Because vines, they were those very tender plants that left to themselves would soon perish. And so he speaks about building a hedge around his kingdom. He builds a wall around his kingdom, about his people who are not able to protect themselves. Oh, the care, he says, of the Father in taking care of his people, to build a hedge about it so that the enemies, they cannot come into it to harm his church, the apple of his eye. He builds a tower in it. Oh, he gives watchmen to watch over it. He builds a wine press in it. Oh, that his people, they may also rejoice in that salvation of the Lord. Thus, he speaks about the tender care of his Father, and that has a purpose. And what is the purpose? That is fruits. That is natural. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits. Is that reasonable? This is his vineyard. From our work, then it is reasonable that we receive the fruits of our labors. And thus the Lord says it is also reasonable. And when the Lord, he has created mankind, it is reasonable that the Lord, he should look for the fruits from all his creation. Do you ever feel that, young people? As you go through this world, you say, maybe, what will I do with my life? We do not know our life. Not for one moment. But it is a question that you must ask. Will you ask the Lord also? Your life is short. Do you realize that? So quickly, it is gone. And what now will you do with it? Oh, will you give something of that life back unto the Lord? Is it reasonable that the Lord should ask of us a little fruit? Is it reasonable also as a congregation, as a denomination, when the Lord, he has given us also more than he has given all the world round about us, when he has given unto us his word, when he has given unto us his truth, Is it not reasonable that the Lord should come looking to us and to say, where are now the fruits that are coming from my vineyard? And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. What does the Lord Jesus speak about? He speaks about how that the servants of the Lord, that he had sent his people, especially in the time of the Old Testament, how they were treated. What they have done with the servants of the Lord. What did they do to Isaiah? They killed him. What did they do to Jeremiah? Well, they threw him in a pit. They threw him, they put him in the stocks. And they threw him in the dungeon. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, they stoned him in the temple of the Lord. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, that stonest them that are sent unto thee. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Thus, the Lord Jesus represents his father. He represents his father as doing everything that was possible for that people, for that Jewish nation, because he has left nothing undone, even to go so far as not only to send his servants, but that he will send even, he says, his own son. And then he has that reasonable expectation that they will reverence my son. That though they have done harm to my servants, though they have slain, though they have hurt my servants, yet he says, they will reverence my son. Reasonable expectation. Actually, it is an answer of the Lord Jesus to that question that the Pharisees and the scribes have asked of him, because they said to him, by what authority doest thou these things? The Lord Jesus, he did not answer them at that time. But now the Lord Jesus, he answers them. He answers them under the cover of this parable. He had to speak unto them in such a way, by way of parables, in order that he may extend for a few days his life until that time that he will give himself upon that cursed tree. And thus he now gives them an answer. By what authority do I these things? He says, I am his son. I am the son of God. No, he does not say that outright. But he says that in this parable is actually an answer. He says, I have authority. I do these things by the authority of my father. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Thus, under cover of this parable, the Lord Jesus reveals the plotting of the Pharisees and the scribes against him. Does not say that outright, but he lets them know. He lets them understand that he knows. That he knows the secrets of every heart. And that he knows what is taking place beyond the scenes that the people of the Jews are able to see. That he himself is not ignorant of their devices. They are plotting. Later he says, why go ye about to kill me? Then they say, who goeth about to kill thee? Ah, the Lord Jesus, he knew. He understood, and he let them know that he knew. What an absurd expectation there was in the hearts of these men, these husbandmen. They say, we are going to kill that son, and then we are going to, it says, seize on this inheritance. What would you think about that, young people? When they would slay the son, that they should think that they are then going to be able to take the inheritance, and that the inheritance shall be theirs. You say that is absurd. Because the owner of that vineyard surely is going to come, and he is going to do with them according to their devices, and certainly they are not going to be able to seize on this inheritance. And yet that indeed was their thought. What did the rulers want? Oh, they wanted to have authority. They said, by what authority doest thou these things? They wanted to have that authority within the church. They wanted to have the authority over the consciences of all of this people, that they may guide their consciences by their own laws, by their own rules. And now the Lord Jesus stood in their way as an impediment, because that was not the law of God which they taught. No, but they were now the laws of men. And thus, these men, they thought, we do away with the Son. And if we do away with the Son, the inheritance shall be ours. He cannot come into that synagogue anymore, into that temple anymore. He cannot oppose us anymore. We are the rulers of this people. And caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Where does sin appear more as sin than in the slaying, in the abuse of the son of this husbandman? Christ, he poses this question. He asks this question directly, now outright, unto these rulers. What do you think? Do you think those rulers realized a little bit that he was speaking about them? Indeed, they did. What do we read? That they perceived that he spake of them. Perceived it. So what do we do? Well, they could not do anything. Why not? All around is a crowd. All around are the people, and all those people, they are listening. So they have to go along. They are forced by these reasonings of the Lord Jesus, and they have to give their answer. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked husbandmen and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Thus they pronounce their own judgment. Not willingly. Not that they say, I deserve it, but they have to do it. Not only do they pronounce their own judgment, but they are forced to state the reasonableness of that judgment. Oh, how will it be with us? Will we also be forced, as these men, to state the reasonableness of the judgments of the Lord that will come upon us? The Lord Jesus now abandons this likeness this vineyard. And he begins to speak about another likeness out of the scriptures, that is out of the Old Testament, that was well known to the chief priests and the scribes. Why does he do that? Well, because likenesses, parables, they are never perfect. When they are made as a likeness to something that is real in this world, so that every point is not able to be brought over. And here we have read that that son of that husbandman, that he has been slain. We know that it will not remain that the Lord Jesus will be in the grave. And so the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about another likeness out of the prophecy of David concerning the Messiah. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Thus the Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about another likeness. What is that likeness? Well, he likens the kingdom of heaven, instead of now to a vineyard, he likens that kingdom of heaven unto the building of a temple. And he speaks here about the stone which the builders rejected. Thus, boys and girls, we are building the temple too, aren't we? We are building a new sanctuary. And if you have seen a little bit the way they have done it, it is nothing like what we read in the Bible. They did it in the old days so different. When they built Solomon's temple, then there were very, very great stones that they brought and they set down as a foundation, and they built that temple up in that place. And so when they had to bring a stone, well, then they had to choose what stone. And it says here, the stone which the builders rejected. So they have gone among the stones, they have looked at those stones. They said, there is a nice one. There, that is a beautiful stone. That one there, that will make a beautiful cornerstone. That one will make a nice foundation stone. That one we put in the middle. And there is one. Ah, it is not nice looking at all. It is defaced. It is cut in the wrong way. It is marred. It is not a stone that is fit for that temple. And thus they reject that stone. They say, we put it over there. That is a place where we put all of the stones that we are not going to use, and that afterwards we will take and we will throw them away. It says, the stone which the builders rejected. But later that same stone, as they are finishing that temple, and then we say the architect of that building, he comes and he says to those builders, there is now the stone that I want you to use in the very top, in the very corner, where the two walls, they will meet one with another, and that stone that is going to bind those two walls together. So those walls, they are connected together, and so that temple that will be so very firm that it will not fall. And then there is a marveling. A marveling. Why? Because they say it was just that stone which was rejected, that stone which was defaced, that we thought that was nothing but refuse. It was just that stone that has become the headstone of the corner, the most important one, the one that would be most useful to binding the walls together of that temple of the Lord. Did ye never read in the scriptures? Thus the Lord Jesus chides the scribes and of the Pharisees. Of course they have read it in the scriptures, because the scribes and the Pharisees, the scriptures were well known unto them. So they have read, but they did not understand it. David prophesied a long time ago about this stone. He prophesied of the stone being rejected, and he prophesied of that stone being exalted. Thus, he has prophesied of the deep humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has specifically prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would be rejected not only by the Jewish people, but he has specifically prophesied that Christ would be rejected by the builders of the temple. That he would be rejected by the chief officers, we would say, of the church of God. Thus, we have a remarkable prophecy that was literally fulfilled in its season. The Lord Jesus knew that rejection was coming by the wicked husbandmen. He prophesied of this. Isaiah also prophesied of it. He said he is despised and he is rejected by men. Rejection, what is that? That is not just a light suffering. Is it children? Say, do you ask us? No, we ask you. Rejection. Is that just a light suffering? Are you rejected, boys and girls? Maybe there are some here that are rejected. You have a whole class in school. And all those, well, those boys, they are all together. Those girls, they are all together. And then there is someone who doesn't fit anywhere. What do you do, young people? What do you do? Do you ever look around you? Do you ever look for someone who is rejected? Do you ever look for someone who goes home at night and has no one to phone, to text to maybe, no one? Do you ever feel that? How that would be? Can you ever place yourself a little bit in the shoes of someone who is rejected? That is an awful suffering. And it is taking place in our days by means of the technology that we have, or it is taking place in such a hidden way, it is taking place in such a deceiving way, in such a cruel way. Oh, young people, we plead with you. Remember the poor. And remember those who are rejected. There are some who maybe know what that is. The Lord Jesus, what did he say unto his people? What did he say unto the Jews? He said, I will be unto you a God. I will be unto you a husband, young people. Maybe you have said that once to a girl, a young man. He says, would you like to go with me? She has rejected you. How was that? How was that? When you would like to say, I will give you my all, I will give you everything, she says, I do not want it. That is now what rejection is. The Lord Jesus here, he was rejected, we read. That suffering that was compounded By what? By the fact that he was rejected by his own people. He was rejected by the builders of his father's kingdom. He was rejected by the very office bearers of that church, of whom his father had said, I will be a father unto you. And he has said unto them, I will give to you my life, and I will pay for you the price. And he has piped unto them. They have not danced. He has mourned unto them, and they have not wept. Began early in his ministry. It began by his own people, the Nazarenes, came unto his own, and his own received him not. Prophet has no honor in his own country. They would like to take him and throw him off of a cliff. His own family, what do we read? Neither did his brethren believe in him. What a dart must have gone through the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejection by a stranger is one thing. Rejection by your own, that is a blot. If you would be rejected, young people, by your own family, go out into this world, and the world would look back and they say there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong there because we do not know this man. We do not know this girl. But his family, oh, they know him. And if they have rejected him, then there has to be something wrong there. What have the scribes and the Pharisees done? Oh, they have brought him even to the enemy. They have brought him before Pilate. And there they have said to Pilate, we reject him. There they mocked him. Why? What did Pilate say to the Lord Jesus? He said, I do not accuse you of anything. He says, it is thy own nation. It is the chief priests. They have delivered you unto me. What hast thou done? Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? Later Peter, he comes back to this. He says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. And now those chief priests, they have declared their own judgment. What is going to happen? Oh, that householder, he is going to come and he is going to destroy, he said, those wicked men. And he is going to give his vineyard unto others. And now the Lord Jesus says, yes, that is right. That is what is going to happen. Therefore, he says, I say unto you, that the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and shall be given unto a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. It's going to be taken from that Jewish nation, and it will be given unto the Gentiles, and they now are going to bring forth fruit. That is now the judgment. When there is a rejection, when there is a piping, and when there is a mourning, and when there is no fruit, then the Lord Jesus says, then I take it away. Oh, what a judgment. Let us sing. 255, stanza 4. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today. Lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Let's sing also number 3. To the Lord such might revealing, Let us come with reverence, meet 3 and 4 of 255. Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The same is become the head of the corner. Thus David did not only prophesy of the humiliation of Christ, but he also prophesied of his exaltation, that rejected stone that would become the headstone, that would become the head of the corners, not by the builders. No, but he says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Father as the great architect of the building of his church. Oh, then he will set aside those builders and what they are attempting to do with this choice stone that did not look so very beautiful from the outside. But the Father, he will see to it that that stone that is not only humiliated, but that that stone that is also exalted at his decree, at his execution, at his time, then that stone that is going to be raised up and it is going to be placed on high and he is going to be sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, the true church of God, they may now marvel at the work of the hand of the Father in the doings concerning his only begotten Son, in the humiliation of the Son, and in the exaltation of his Son. And they will wonder at it. They will marvel at it to all eternity. Oh, that is the way that the Lord is dealing with his Son. That is the way that the Lord is dealing also with his own church. But here we have a warning. Here is declared by the Lord Jesus himself the punishment for the sin of the rejection of the son of that householder. What does he say? What does he say in the application? And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. What does it mean? What does it mean to fall on this stone? That speaks about a stone which is on the ground. Thus, it speaks about Christ in his humiliation. It speaks about Christ in his rejection as he is living here in this world. Thus, to fall on that stone, that speaks about that stone in its rejection, in the state of his humiliation, being to us a stumbling block, being to us an offense for its lowliness, for its humility, for its rejection by all this world, for its rejection by the builders. And so that stone becomes something that a man, while he is traveling through this world, he is taking offense to it. It is not to the hurt of the stone, but it is to his own hurt. We read, he is broken. That means he receives punishment. And yet, the Lord Jesus speaks about a more violent punishment. He says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. This is a reference to Christ in the state of his exaltation, when he has made that headstone of the corner. Thus, as the headstone, he is going to tie together the two walls of that building, that is the Jewish nation, along with all of the Gentiles, that entire church of God, both Jew and Gentile, they will be tied together. The middle wall of partition will be taken down, and together between them all, his church, that is going to be built. That is despite what those builders want to do. But he says, that stone is no more lying there upon the ground. That stone is now exalted. It is exalted to a great height. Boys and girls, if the stone is on the ground, then it is possible that we fall on that stone. But if that stone is above us, we cannot fall on it anymore. But now that stone that can fall on us, it can fall on us. And thus the Lord Jesus speaks about the wrath of God. Those who will reject not only that humiliated stone, but who will also reject him in the state of his exaltation, that refuse to bow before him, who refuse to receive him. The judgment of the Lord, maybe that we are not like those chief priests and elders, that we have persecuted in an outward way the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, do we yet even stumble at that stumbling stone? The stone which the builders rejected. Thus, he says, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. Is it also so with us concerning that stone in rejection of that mediator? What is that? To reject the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? That is to be like that man who had not on a wedding garment. And why no wedding garment? It is because he has refused it at the door. And why did he refuse it at the door? It is because he thought that his own wedding garment, that was good enough. That is that awful sin of pride. That is unbelief. Unbelief concerning what, young people? Say, unbelief concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You will hear that. Is that true? Yes, that is true. What is the first thing? It is unbelief concerning our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, that our garment, that is not good enough. We don't believe that. It is a rejection. It is a rejection in pride. It is a rejection of grace. Why does a man reject grace? Because grace is humiliating. It is humiliating. Because grace infers that we are guilty. Grace infers that we are unworthy. And a man who has never become unworthy in his whole life, he absolutely refuses grace. Here is the root cause. It is the root cause of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we see no form, that we see no beauty in him. That was the root cause of his rejection by the scribes and by the Pharisees. They had a righteousness which was of their own. Oh, what is it? What is it to reject him? That is for a dying man to reject a physician. Would you do that, young people? Oh, you say, if I knew I was dying, that is right. What is our problem? We don't believe we are dying. Johanan, he said to Gedaliah, Ishmael is going to slay you. Gedaliah says, "Thou speakest falsely of Ishmael." But soon Ishmael was there, and then he was slain. Oh, we do not believe. We do not believe in that mediator. We do not believe in the first place that we are dying. We do not believe. We do not believe what? What is it to reject him? Oh, that is to reject. That is to reject a surety. A surety. A surety who says to a bankrupt man, "I will stand for you. I will go into court for you." When you have to stand in there and appear before that judge, then if you do not have what to pay, then I will come and pay it for you. What is that to reject him? That is to say, "I don't need it. I will go in before the judge myself. And I will pay my own debt." Oh, that is the rejection. That is for a condemned criminal to reject freedom. He is in the prison. And you say, "Well, you may have perfect freedom. You may be let go." He says, "I do not want it. I do not want it. I do not feel bound. I do not feel like I am in a prison. No, actually, I feel perfectly free." What is it for an ignorant man to reject wisdom? Why? He says, "I am no fool. I do not need another wisdom than my own. I have enough." Oh, the rejection. The rejection of that mediator. That is the epitome of unreasonableness. It is worse than the sons of Lot. He says, "Awake and flee out of this place." But what do we read? We read that he was unto them as one that mocked. He says, "The Lord is not going to destroy this city." And they went back to sleep. Oh, that is to reject him that pipes. That pipes. That is to reject a loving Savior. That is to say no to his sacrifice. That is to say no to his atonement. When he says, "I will be unto you as an elder brother." He said, "I do not need an elder brother." And he says that my Father shall be unto you as a loving Father. He said, "I do not want." That is to choose sin over holiness. That is to reject a garment to cover our nakedness. That is to choose hell over heaven. Why? Why all this? Why? Because we do not want to bow. Because we do not want to go on our knees and to say, "Lord, I am a sinful man." That is why. Because we will not come there. Because though we are more leprous than Naaman the Syrian, we refuse to bow and to descend into that muddy Jordan. But that rejected stone, that is to us a stumbling block. Oh, how deeply did Christ humble himself, even to be rejected of men. Unfathomable. Even the Son of God to be rejected of men. Oh, do you hear that, young people? Those that are rejected, what does the Lord say? They have in him an high priest who which can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Order, may that become a wonder to you. But the Lord Jesus, in his humiliation, he did not condemn those that rejected him. No, he was quiet. Kept it under a parable. Why? He said, I am not come to condemn the world. I am come to save the world. What is he saying in this parable? He says, I come again. Come a second time. And when I come a second time, and I do not come to save the world anymore, then I come to judge the world. And when he comes now to judge the world, he says, I will return so very, very different. It's not our word. This is the word of the Lord Jesus himself. He says that people that would not that I should reign over them, oh, he says, I will grind them to powder. O congregation, the Lord, he says, that it is more dangerous to reject the Son than it is to reject his holy law. He that sinned against the law, he despised Moses' law, he died without mercy by the hand of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, he says, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Because he says, we know him who hath said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I've piped unto you, and you have not danced. I've mourned unto you, and you have not wept. O, the Lord, break our love for sin and for vanity, and give us to kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and we perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. O, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a word of judgment, a mourning unto you. O, could it be that there is a lamenting? O, that thou may give it in the heart of each and every one of us. O, teach us to know ourselves, and teach us to love thee. Show us thy preciousness, also of thy suffering, that it may be to us food and drink for our poor souls. Wilt thou bring us safely home? Do a care for all thy servants that do labor once again in this evening and other places also in our community. And wilt thou watch over them, and wilt thou give us also a little meditation upon thy truths in this night. Give thy word a place. Help us in the week to come in all the labors of our hands. Be with those that labor on the building. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 3, 1, 3, and 4. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.